Blog Talk Radio.
I need your love, I need your time, and everything's wrong, you make it right. I feel so high, I come alive, I need to be free with you tonight. I need your love. Deep breath every time I pass your door. I know you're here, but I can't see you anymore. And that's the reason you're in the dark. I've been a stranger ever since we fell apart. And I feel so helpless here. Watch my eyes all fill with fear. Tell me, do you feel the same? Hold me in your arms again. I need your love, I need your time. When everything's wrong, you make it right. I feel so high, I come alive. I need to be free with you tonight. I need your love, oh, I need your love. Now I'm dreaming, will I ever find you now? I walk in circles, never figure out what I mean to you. Do I belong? I'm trying to fight this, but I know I'm not this strong. And I feel so helpless here. Watch my eyes, are filled with fear. Tell me, do you feel the same?
Smith. Unfortunately, Lou Wild Dove won't be hosting tonight as she is under the weather. These shows are brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from around the world. So feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. And tonight's show is based on a Victor Hugo quote, and the quote is, let me just get to it here. The quote goes, hold on one second here, sorry. Life is the flower for which love is the honey, by Victor Hugo. And so that's the basis of tonight's show, although we will have some open poetry as well. Okay, I'm going to go to the studio here and check the lines real quick. Okay, we have some callers. Hello and welcome, Sir Laurent.
Good evening, Gray. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you? Long time.
I guess I'm all right.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Glad to hear your voice. Okay, I'm going to bring on another caller here. Area code 667, who's calling, please?
This is Martha.
Hi, Martha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, I'm going to grab the first poll here. If you wouldn't mind when you see this, Lauren, please.
All right. I knew we'd make it by Incubus. If my love were a flower, I would choose to be a common old garden weed, strong, breaking down walls to reach your heart. Resilient to keep coming back time and time again. Unshowy, as is not what's seen makes the gentleman. Omnipresent, to be wherever you need me to be. Fertile, to spread my love freely, even to my enemies. For you, my friends, my love, my heart, are like the humble bumblebees. Physics says you should be grounded, but with perseverance and stubborn refusal, you grew wings to carry the weight laid upon your shoulders. And for this, I thank you. I give you the very essence of my being. Come drink deep of my emotions, and as one joined in the need of a pure symbiotic relationship, giving a lot and taking a little at a time, savoring the embrace that only two souls in perfect sync can ever truly feel. Remember, my love, even the most unlikely of flora can still provide you with honey and pollen.
Well, that was a bang-on read and a fabulous poem. You know, I really like the take on the prompt of him being a weed that's strong, resilient, unshowy, omnipresent, and fertile. And then, you know, his love for the bumblebees is quite beautiful. And I like the symbiotic relationship between two souls in perfect sync. And I really thought it was beautifully crafted. Well done. What did you think, Martha? Hello, Martha? Let me just check and see if she's still with us. Yeah, she's dropped. What did you think of the poem? What did you think of the poem, Lawrence?
Well, I totally misinterpreted poem by looking at the title. You know, I thought something else, but I'm glad it wasn't that. That would have been too, you know, just commonplace. You know, the expression grows like a weed is not misplaced. They're very hardy species. When they decide to love something, they love it strong. So I'm glad she chose the weed as the star here, the unlikeliest of flora. Which is nice. Because not every pair of souls is perfect in every respect. We're all flawed one way or another, but we can find in each other the strength, the resilience, the presence to be there for the other. Well, then, we are indeed humble bumblebees. Maybe we can't fly, but we sure do give a good imitation. Great piece.
Great comment. And, okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. Not so she may call in. This one has a recording. And it's by Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank. So there's that. I'm going to grab his SoundCloud. And welcome Martha back. Hello and welcome back, Martha.
Hi, I got cut off for some reason. My call dropped.
That's okay. Did you get a chance to hear Lauren read?
I read the poem and I heard him read. I thought that was a wonderful poem. It had such a beautiful expression of love and how love should be, not the flowery kind, but the lasting kind. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. Okay, I've got the next link up by Frank, and he has a SoundCloud. Mi amor. In my colorful garden, you are my beautiful flower, with a fresh lavender scent permeating the blossoming rose, imbued with intoxicating petals, infusing the exotic breeze that caresses with seductive whispers. Your lips are like a soft sepals that unfold, waiting for my kiss. Your central voice serenades me within the moonlight glow. Your smile is the glisten of the dripping dew of the evening rain. The night conceals the romantic shadows of passionate lovers. The morning reveals the warm refulgence of our blissful love. I feed off your nibbling nectar like a hypnotic bee under your spell, tickling the edges of your vestal petals as you are fully awakened anew by the fluttering of my wings that make you then swoon inside, for I breathe the smell of your drenching fragrance, seducing me. Sé el dulce sabor de mi sed, el anhelo de mi hambre, el amor floreciente que desfloro. Déjame sorber de tu nectar. Be the sweet taste of my thirst and the longing of my hunger. The blooming love I deflower. Let me sip from your nectar. Mi amor. Me, flower, in the poem. Well, that was a wonderful read, and you know the poem is intoxicating. It's hypnotic and it's sensual and delicate. It's just a beautiful painting that he's picture that he's painted here with his words. So just a gorgeous right. What did you think, Martha?
Oh, it was wonderful. It's so flowing and just kind of drew you in, almost like breathing in the fragrance of a beautiful flower. I mean, it was just a beautiful tribute to somebody you love and so well written. Excellent job.
Thank you, Martha. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, as ever, it was an excellent piece, beautifully written. Wonderful choice of language. All that truth to tell, I'm starting to have trouble distinguishing one of his pieces from the other, because they're all magnificent. They're all emotional and weighty in their description. It's almost as if I've heard this before, but haven't heard it before. But this is different, and yet it's the same. We should all have that problem, right? Great piece.
Right, exactly. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And Martha, when you see this, would you mind reading it, please?
Sure.
It's by Ada Karan.
Okay. Love Flourishes by Ada Karan. Whenever I read your poems in this site, my intention of love towards you becomes more powerful. My experience with you in this site by our interaction and reading and commenting on your poems. My intentions are set by the frequency of emotions felt by the honest heart and the intensity of my soul. Life is like flower, and the love is like the honey. the butterflies flutter around the flowers, and the bees getting attracted for the honey. Whenever I am clear of my intention of love, I take the inspired action which is aligned with the truth of my soul, and it comes out from my words. One cannot underestimate the power of intention. While talking to your fellow poets, if you feel that you are loved by this poet, then the truth will be that this poet likes you. The actions could be expressed in their words. When our actions are based on good intentions, our soul never regrets, and our love flourishes. End poem.
It was a beautiful read, Martha. And this is a lovely poem, you know, about following your gut. And, you know, your gut is probably right when it comes to the attention of another. And, you know, follow that through and with good intentions. Your soul never regrets, and your soul, your love flourishes. Just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Lauren? Oh, he got dropped.
There you go.
Welcome
Can't
back.
Can't say a word until I'm unmuted, right? I like it a great deal. My intentions are set by the frequency of emotions felt by the honest heart and the intensity of my soul. You know, the heart can jump from thing to thing fairly quickly. So to have intentions set to that frequency is a very interesting proposition, especially the intensity of my soul, which can wax and wane. Life is like flower, and the love is like the honey. The butterflies flutter around the flowers and bees getting attracted to the honey. And it's absolutely true. Whether you're in that mood or not, the attention that you pay to your loved one can be extraordinary, can be minimal. So in that way, we're very much like flowers flitting around based on the intensity of our emotions at that particular time. It's a great piece.
Well said. Thank you, Laura. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was great. I loved the message, and it was a very powerful poem about someone having good intentions and following through with them. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Titus Lewin, and he has a SoundCloud.
A still life version, no less. From so shallow roots and soil so sparse, an orchid, for whom her inner goodness did not have love to await her under glass. Sleeping beauty, a still life version, no less. How far from deep within can all those dreams we've made when in fact time was against all the odds, when into flower, the things love is wary of what happens next. Scent steeples open with delight to all apparels. The opulent deluge of honey as it trickles consent shows beauty resting on its laurels. Pistols of lead to be palpitating ventricles. Had my life depended on my missing out, her opening her eyes that night. I've died many times before. I could see so devout, like virgin oil. Honey slavers do coincide.
Well, that was a wonderful read. And a delightful poem, you know, very rhythmic and has a delicate beauty to it throughout. Supples open to the delight of all apparels. The opulent deluge of honey as it trickles consent shows beauty resting on its laurels. Pistols have led to palpitating ventricles. And just a heartfelt, right, beautifully done. What did you think, Lauren? Hello, Lauren?
Sorry, chattering away on mute. That second stanza really speaks to me. How from deep within can all those dreams we've made, when in fact time was against all the odds, went into flower, the themes love is wary of what happens next sense. You know, there's never any guarantee. You have to be careful. But if the moment is right, then sepals will indeed open the delight to all the apparels. As usual, a beautiful piece.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. I love the metaphors, and it had a great message, and it just spoke of love so divinely. I just thought it was wonderful.
Great comment. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hello. Hello there, my friends. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you get a chance to hear Titus's poem?
I was not able to hear the whole extent of the soundcraft, but I was able to read it just about a minute ago because I was in the process of calling in. As always, Titus has a wonderful ability to just write, you know, poetry inspired by his beloved one. You know, it's something envious when you think about how consistent he does this. You know, he just blows me away at times with this admiration, this love that he is beholden to his wife, you know, and I think that this is just another example of that beautiful type of writing when inspired. Poetry is such a beautiful thing when inspired like this in this form. So I thought it was a fantastic beat, and I thought the song card, as always, is just it's marvelous as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Frank.
Yes, bear with me. I have to refresh here.
Sure.
All right. Is this the time teller, right? Bedfellows?
Yes.
All right. It goes like this. Insulated from the frost, its cold, whirly ways, we grow together. Twisted and twined, touching minds, we bestow to each other. Our tendrils wind around one another. We share the light, the rain, and food from a bed in which we wrestle together. Until as one we bloom and offer our nectar, so as others may share it as honey, spreading all joy, our happiness, our love, in the poem.
Beautiful read, Frank. And, you know, this is a lovely poem on, you know, the life of two flowers that bloom as one and offer their nectar up so that others may share it as honey, spreading their joy and love and happiness. I thought it was just a beautiful, touching piece. What did you think, Lord?
Well, I immediately thought of plants, probably the way you did, but plants are never mentioned. It's bedfellows. The action of twisting and twining, which plants do around each other, bodies also do to each other. And beyond that, of course, touching minds. And then, of course, tendrils. Tendrils for hands, tendrils for arms. We share the light, the rain, and food. So he completes the plant metaphor, but it's so apt, because as the plants bloom, so do we. Great piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was a great metaphor for how two people come to love each other, and they grow together, and they just almost become one person. I think it was really nice.
Thank you, Martha. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'm going to have to agree with all these comments here. I thought it was a romantic piece, of course, but it also had its graceful sensuality as well. You know, when the metaphors are very exquisite here, you know, the blooms, the nectar, the honey. You know, they're all visual, they're all tactile to some certain extent, but they're all sentient as well. And I thought it was a wonderful display here, the poem, in that regard, of being able to offer, you know, this type of love, this reverence toward each other, which I think it's a beautiful sentiment to express when it's recompensed, when it's also, when it's love that is expressed by both. So I really thought that the poem really touched on that for me. It really kept me thinking.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have the next poem here. This is by Rhonda Rosary. Sorry. And it's called Full of Light. Life was simple to a great extent. It was like calm water in a river, an experiment untried by me, a silent, aimless, numb life. Life was empty without you. It's on a new course now. The future looks much brighter. Love awoke, and so did life. How full of life and motion it is. You paint a picture so lively to life. Grease the wheels that run my life. A king proved himself through battle. Can't imagine a better life. My eyes are twinkling with mirth. You sucked foreign force out, vividly adding spring to my eyes, ears. Stormy winters are ebbed away. The stress and sorrow are lessened. Bright sun shines, smiley to the day, with all the best pleasures of life. End poem. And, yeah, it was a lovely rite of dedication and devotion to somebody that's pulled you out of the darkness and into the light with their being. And stormy winters are ebbed away. The stress and sorrow are lessened. Bright sunshine, smiley to the day, with all the best pleasures of life. Yeah, beautiful poem. What did you think, Lauren?
Can you come right back to me, please?
Sure. Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was great. Actually, he could have been writing about my life. It's a wonderful expression of what you go through when love wakes you up and you can feel life again. I thought it was wonderful.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I too felt that sentiment there expressed here. I like the simplicity, the simplicity of this poem here. You know, it starts off with the word simple there, lightning in that sentence there. Life was simple to a great extent. You know, when you think about what life is, you know, when you have a significant other there, you know, regardless of gender, when you have those emotions, the express of love, you know, when you're going through the darkness, you see the light. But you also find yourself finding a change in you, an evolution in you as well. And when you find that special person there that motivates you as well, then there is that certain glee in your eyes as well, and it's very persistent as well. So it's the most beautiful thing humanly expressed, I would say. I thought this poem was a fine example of that, how one could go from, as you said, from darkness to light, when there is that inspiration to be inspired by. I thought you did a wonderful job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, this struck home because life is simple if you think about it. You get up, you drink, you eat, you work, you defecate, you go to sleep. There's everything that goes with that, especially your partner. Life was empty without you. It's on a new course now. The future looks much brighter. Love awoke, and so did life. So it's that other person that brings life to its fullest, to its awakening. And not to wander away from the poem, but saw a very interesting documentary the other day on the loneliest people in the world are apparently the Chinese, or no, the Japanese. Their birth rate is lessened. The marriage rate is way down. Youngsters seem to have forgotten how to engage each other. They're all lonely, but they don't want to engage with anybody. And it's only by engaging that you bring life to its fullest. So, lovely piece.
Well said, and that was a great comment. Thank you for sharing that. And would you mind reading the next one, Laura, please?
Sure. All right. This is called Love Blooms Like a Red, Red Rose. Our love blooms like the reddest red rose. Sweet nothings you whispered to my heart. My love is sweet honey I want to taste. Love is the honey in our lives. You're mine. You're the perfect one. In sweet dreams, my love, you're sweet honey I want to taste. I've dreamed the sweetest dreams of you. You're the poetry that lives in my heart. My love, you're sweet honey. I want to taste. Thus, in our hearts, our love is tattooed. Oh, precious rose, let me taste the sweet. My love, you're sweet honey. I want to taste. Nectars of your lips upon his soft lips. We blend into a oneness as soulmates. Our love blooms like the reddest red rose. Your love blossoms like the reddest rose. You're my one and only true love. Our love blooms like the reddest red rose. My love, your sweet honey, I want to taste. End poem.
You did a fantastic job of reading that. And I really liked it. You know, it paints a picture of love and desire and devotion and want and need. Everything that goes along with being in love is in this poem, and I thought it was just beautifully penned. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was really, really pretty. I love the metaphor of the rose to love. It fits so well, and it was just so beautifully well written. They did an excellent job with it.
Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I thought this was a wonderful, wonderful display of a fondness, which is love. This is another poem, another example here of the elements of sentience being involved here. Now, you have taste, you have scent as well, but you also have a desire there as well, you know, when it comes to love, you know, and you mix these elements together, you know, the sentience together with the sentiments expressed. Then you have a wonderful poem like this, and I like the repetition there of the reddest red rose. It's very significant to me, you know, that repetition there, because it's describing there the essence and the value of what that love is and what it represents or what it personifies in that regard. So I really thought they did, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful poem. And I really did enjoy the way that this poem was written above all.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, I liked the piece a great deal, but I'm afraid our poetic Picasso voiced my opinion on this very ably, so I'll go with what his comment was.
Okay, thanks, Lauren. Okay, I've got the next SoundCloud up, and this is by I Love Poems, a.k.a. Sawa, and she has a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
I love poems. Oh, beautiful flower, oh, belle fleur, oh, belle fiore. Oh, beautiful flower, how I despise your cruel tones, and how I love your tender petals. Moment of sweet reverie, your dewed dawn spreads in the air. My steps dance with slight breeze. I bend down and I breathe your intoxicating scent. Perfumes my heart with sweetness, clothes my spirit with hope, takes me away from the path of my pain. Your smile springs from my eyes full of tears. Oh, belle fleur, que je méprise tes cruelles épines, que j'aime tes tendres pétales, un rappel d'une douce rêverie, ta rosée des lobes se répandent dans l'air, mes pas dansent avec sa brise légère. Je me penche et je respire, ta senteur enivrante, elle embaume mon cœur avec de la douceur, elle vêtit mon esprit avec de l'espérance. Elle m'éloigne du chemin de mes douleurs et un sourire jaillit de mes yeux pleins de larmes. Ô bel fiore, come amo i tuoi teneri petali, un di colto di dolce fantascherie, e come disprezzo le tue spine crudeli, la tua rugiada all'alba si diffonde nell'aria, i miei passi densano con una brezza leggera. Vicino il respiro tuo profumo nebbiante profuma il mio cuore di dolcezza, riveste il mio spirito di speranza e porta via dal sentiero del mio dolore e un sorriso scorga dai miei occhi pieni di lacrime and the storm.
That was a beautiful poem, excellent read as well. But, you know, oh, beautiful flower, how I despise your cruel thorns and how I love your tender petals, a memento of sweet reverie. I mean, you know, we all love the petals and hate the thorns, but they come together as one, so we have to deal. But it makes, you know, the tenderness of the petals that much sweeter when you have the thorn to counter it. So I guess that's life. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, I completely agree with you. Oh, belle fleur, que je méprise les cruelles épines, those thorns that accompany love, hidden between the petals. Sometimes we're aware of them, sometimes we're not. But our love is enough to overcome those thorns, and we will indeed disregard the pain. Beautiful piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was a wonderful poem. It was to me, it's a reminder that sometimes when we're hurt, we can find comfort in the smallest things and get ourselves back together just from the small thing that comes into our life.
Absolutely, yeah, thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know that flower has a wonderful ability just to use always, she always introduces, you know, the expression of her emotions here, raw, in the rawest form, you know, and I like that first stanza there, you know, the beautiful flower, and then when it goes on to, this, you know, it says, despise your cruel thorns. You know, there is something about that. It almost seems like a bit of regret there. There is a sense of pain, you know, but she always brings that sentiment of hope as well in her poetry. You know, it when it seems that it's at the darkest hour, she always brings the light of hope to in her poems. And I like those two last lines there, you know, take me away from the path of my pain and of miles bring from my eyes full of tears. There's a longing there, but there's also a sense of admission, you know. And I like the way she just interwove those elements there. And this poem, you know, written through languages is very much, I would say, it just feels so so natural, you know, in any language. The way she expresses herself is just a beauty.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Okay. She heard my comments there.
Yeah, she was online. Area code 506, who's calling, please?
Lady A.
Oh, hi, Lady A. It shocked me.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Sawa said she was on hold too, but I can't seem to bring her on. So I will ask Bill. Bill, if you're listening, can you please bring Sawa on? Please and thank you. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Listening to this poem was a bit heartbreaking. You could hear the emotion in her voice. Was very emotionally charged and beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Okay, so I know it's late where you are. I'm going to put your poem up next.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, it's called Words of Love. Hands like feathers beguile my skin. Lips touch mine, I drown therein. Waves of love billow and roll. Within my chest I can't control. Adrenaline rushes, I cannot breathe. My love to you I bequeath. fire burns from our eyes. Flushed, we dance like lovebirds fly. We are mute, no need for words. He is my muse, I am his world. Fingertips to fingertips, bolts electric, hip to hip, smoky, sultry, eyes ablaze. My darling one does me amaze. His presence fills my lifelong pain. No more empty, he is my rain. Each word written this stormy night, each letter placed for his delight, are filled with emotion only we created. Dearest heart, we are fated. Whatever love means to man are as grains of Sudan's sand. Written words are not enough. None exist to express my love. We are love's blood, love's voice and song. And wait for me, soon I'll come. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, this is a touching poem. It really hits the heart of, you know, what love is, and when you're together, that love is united in one. Hands like feathers begone my skin, lips touch mine, I drown therein. Just a powerful opening. And yeah, in the closing, you know, is just as powerful. We are love's blood, love's voice and song. Wait for me, soon I'll come. Beautiful job, Lydia.
Thank you.
And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. I loved the rhyme and the flow. It was really an excellent read and had a beautiful message. I thought it was very well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, Martha. And Sawa, mm-hmm. What did you think?
Oh, hello, everyone. Hello, Lady. This is really so tender and romantic. You can feel the emotion so deeply. And you're right, we are mute. I like the stanza you chose, Gray, but we are mute, no need for words. I am the word, fingertips to finger. Just like, it's kind of have a sensuality, but very classy and so romantic. Love,
thank
blood,
you,
love, voice and song. Wait for me. There is longing in as well. Very, very deep longing. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Selwa. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say hello there, Lydia. It's been a while.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there. I thought this poem was beautiful, beautifully written. You know, sensuality and romance, I've always said, go hand to hand when properly expressed and shared by two lovers. And I think that you did a wonderful job here of just displaying, you know, in the rawest form, but in the most purest form as well, you know, this fondness that you share, you know, for this person or this individual or your muse. And I thought it was just overall, genuinely, it was just a beautiful piece. You did a fantastic job with this piece, and I'm glad it's been a while since I've not heard your poetry on the air, and I'm very, very much, I'm very glad that I was able to hear your poetry again and your voice as well.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so let me see here. Here in my heart, poems. Okay. Would you mind reading this next one for me, Martha, please?
Sure. Sweetly Wild by Betty Page. Sweetly wild, honeysuckle sweet, wild passionate kind lovers, playful as kittens, biting, clawing fierce, tumbling round intimately to be in control. Pining then blending, tie me to the bed, post things, love me wickedly, I'll be your pink rose, open up my soft petals, drink my fine nectar, flowing as champagne, shimmering starlight kisses, erotically sweet. End poem.
wonderful read. And it's a touching rite, you know. Honeysuckle sweet, wildly passionate, kind lovers, playful as kittens, biting, clawing, fierce, tumbling round intimately to be in control. And, yeah, you know, it's very soft but sensual, right? It speaks to the love of two people tenderly entwined. I thought it was just beautiful, beautifully done. What did you think, Laurent?
Kittens have one set of games. Lovers have another set. And they can be equally entertaining. Perhaps more so. Some are learning games. Well, actually, they're both learning games. Certain games will teach you a lot about your partner. I thought this was a very clever piece.
Okay, thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, I've become wont, or I would say accustomed to more and more of Betty's rites. And although they are sensual, they are very much very poetic as well. And I really enjoyed the whole notion there toward the ending there, the pink rose, how it opened up to the soft petals. And I like, of course, as a man of wine and champagne, definitely enjoy that last reference there to champagne and the solid kisses, erotically sweet. Those are three beautiful lines. I thought it was very exquisite, very central indeed. But as with Betty, she's very creative every time. And I really enjoyed this. Was just a fabulous, seductive poem.
Thank you, Frank. And Sowell, what did you think?
It's very romantic. I mean, she always writes very romantic poems, Betty, and reveals deep desires that hungry to be fulfilled. That's all I see in her poem.
Great comment.
Hello?
Thank you. And Mark?
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
I thought
comment.
It was really great. I love the metaphors. I thought it had a lot of nice metaphors for the act of love, and it was really a beautiful poem.
Thank you. So, thank you, Martha. I appreciate that comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Olive Tun. And Frank, if you don't mind reading this, please.
I'm going to have to refresh, so bear with me there, mate. All right. This is called Elizabeth, My Love, My Response by Olive Tun, and it goes like this. Love is not a shallow word, my love. Do you really feel the same? I sit alone at my window, counting dewdrops from the last falling rain. Cars pass by in this empty city, cigarette smoke in the air for days. I wish I was wrapped in your embrace, for when I'm undressed, I cry your name. Elizabeth, what have you done to me? I was a simple man before I met you. Now my hair is fading gray. There's this deep ache inside my heart, squeezing me in pain. I want to hold your slender hands, trace your every curve. I'll be the man in your lucid dreams, the man that you deserve. I write this letter under the shine of the moon. Wait for me a little longer. I'm thrashing inside this lagoon of need for you. Elizabeth, my love, write me back soon. End of poem.
Well, beautiful read, Frank. And, you know, I love this love
welcome.
Letter to the love of his life, you know. It says so much in such a short poem. It really packs a love punch. Cars pass by in this empty city, cigarette smoke in the air for days. I wish I was wrapped in your embrace. When I'm undressed, I cry your name. You know, how beautiful is that? Excellent write, excellent read, Frank. And Lauren, what did you think?
Oh, you're welcome.
Love is not a shallow word. My love, do you really feel the same? Certainly a question we've all asked ourselves. And pining for our love is not with us. And all we can do is sit and do strange little things like count dewdrops in the last fallen rain, watch cars pass by, smoke endless cigarettes, and just pine for the individual that we love. It really expresses, as he says, the deep ache inside my heart, squeezing me in pain. It's not a shallow word, love. It's almost an incendiary word. It's a word at the root of all things. This is very well expressed.
Well said. Thank you, Laurent. And Martha, what did you think?
Oh, it was wonderful. I love the emotion in it and the feel of the whole poem. The story was of a man who was finally able to give in to love and let it take control. Thought it was wonderfully expressed.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. This is so beautiful. You can feel how much he really loves her and miss her and how it's aching that he's not with her. I'll be the man your lucid dreams, the man that you deserve. I like how it's almost like it's an invitation, declaration of love, because he asked her if she feels the same. Do you really feel the same? So there is hesitation here. And then I like how he takes us in his day, how the car passed by empty. He's not really in his room, just like by the window, everything passing by, and he still think about her. What have you done to me? Just beautifully romantic and passionate.
Thank you, Bella. That was a great comment. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, this was me about several years ago, I would say. yeah, it's hard to believe how time has gone by there. I just thought it was, I could identify with this poem. I thought it was just every person who's been in love and has been, and no longer in a relationship with that person certainly has those lingering memories. It's just something that just lingers there. It's hard to let go. And it seems so palpable in this poem here. You know, the whole notion there of being alone at the window, no one chooses to be alone at the window still. At times we find ourselves, it's our comfort zone, perhaps, when we can reflect. This poem does a lot of reflecting here, And I like that whole question there, what have you done to me? It almost seems, it's not so much the regret, but it's just the yearning there. And of course, when you think about the transits of time, I was a simple man before, now my hair is fading gray. There is almost that admission of wasting time, of years going by and not really doing anything, and waiting for what would seem to imply the impossible. So I really like the notion too, at the end there, with Elizabeth, my love, write me back. So it almost seems like a love letter there, which could be at any time, it doesn't have to be at a certain period of time, but it does seem such a beautiful expression here, this poem here, and I really enjoyed the simplicity as well, the emotions.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Random Scribbler, and it's called You and I. In the garden of my heart, surrounded by so many weedy paths, you are the breezy fragrance, keeping it stench-free. Let me inhale you in as you have taken my breath away. You are my life flower. I am your honeybee. Let me taste your nectar as sunflower tastes sun rays. How much I adore you, you see? Let me into your heart and listen to what mine says. Open up to me. Talk opens the key. To the key. Let me fill you as nights fill the days. Come close so that you and I become we. Stop looking at time. Don't count the days. I want you as you want me. Just remember this. If the mind sways, easy it might not be. Let's have the patience, which they say pays. End poem. I like it. I like the straightforward nature of his message, Let's have patience, which they say pays. It takes a lot it's easier to walk away than it is to stay, I think, sometimes. And, often we lose out on the benefits of having stayed. So I got that message out of this clearly. What did you think, Laurent?
I think it's amazing, maybe even a little amusing, in the best sense of the word, how the metaphor of the flower and the honeybee has been so successful in poetry for so many years. You might think it's a tired and worn-out metaphor, but I'd be hard-pressed to come up with one that has more meaning to the average individual, because the very act of harvesting the nectar is the supreme act of love, if you will. It's not just love, it's nourishment. Let me taste your nectar as sunflower tastes sun rays. And then, how much I adore you, can't you see? We always doubt what the other person sees in us. Despite how much we adore them, do they adore us as much back? So, don't count the time. Don't count the days. Let's just be where love exists. Let's have the patience,
exactly,
which they say pays.
Exactly. Yep. Thank you, Lauren. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. I love the metaphors and the message, and it was just a beautiful poem. And it was a reminder that love comes with ups and downs, and we have to hold on to all of it. It was really well done.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I'm going to harken a bit to what Laurent was saying about the metaphors or the analogy there, the bees and the nectar. I like that visual imagery there. There is that sense of courtship there that's very much appreciative there in this poetic form. I like this poem throughout the beginning there, the whole title there, you know, you and I. It's a very empowering, you know, three words there. You know, and this poem talks about, you know, the empowerment of love, empowerment of the yearning, you know, the desire to be with that person there, and just, you know, the reassurance there at the end, you know, just remember that if mind sways, it might not be, let's have the patience, which they say pays. There is that sense of reassurance, and sometimes, you know, in relationships, there has to be that reassurance there. You don't have that, you know, we tend to, to, you know, we tend to drift a bit to doubt. So in that regard, I like the way the poem ended there, that sense of strength there.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem
You're
up. It's by Eric Spunkman, and he has a SoundCloud. So we'll get to this here. Here we go.
A bouquet of red camellias. Bee whisperer ponders, netted eyes study hexagonal honeycombs, reflect on tiger eyes cells, amber flecks abound in her eyes, out of her strength flows pure passion, yet tenderness bud bursts open, each time elegant fingers scoop up honey, dribble, dangle, preamble to sensational sweetness. Bee whisperer wanders. Apollo and Aphrodite whisper peonies on evening breeze. Strange. I thought a bouquet of red camellias would suffice. Perplexed. Ruddy Romeo watches dusk damask demeanor approach. Gentle Zephyr's xylophone his eardrums. Apollo and Aphrodite's peonies, if you please. Sudden flourish of burnished gold upon hexagonal honeycombs trumpets. A bouquet of red camellias, only if you're sure. Bee whisperer waxes. The thought of red camellias quickens his breath. By now the last sun rays ignite the amber flecks in her eyes. light cotton blouse unbuttoned to entice spring's adolescent heat. An open jar of honey on the porch for her Samson. Proud nod of adamant zephyrs on his chest as he heads home. Apollo and Aphrodite's peonies, if you please. Profusion of cherry orchards bursting buds interjects. A bouquet of red camellias, only if you're sure. Scented jasmine cascade frames her radiant face. Sweets for my sweet, sugar for my honey. Magical, magnificent dusk on their white columned porch. She's all flushed, excited, bursting to tell. Samson returns, my lady. Her passionate mouth melts hexagonal honeycombs. Apollo crushes Aphrodite's peonies. Shh. She leads him to the cushioned porch swing. A dizzy, delirious bee beguiled by a bouquet of red camellias. Sweet, hexagonal honeycomb love. Two minds, two hearts, and two wills become one. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, and it's a very lovely poem. Of you can see all this as it is painted away, painted to rote the poem. It really just pulls you along through the whole read, and you know, you get to the final stanza where sweets for my sweet, sugar for my honey, magical, magnificent dusk on the white columned porch. She's all flushed, excited, bursting to tell. Samson's returns, my lady. Her passionate mouth melts hexagonal honeycombs. Apollo crushes Aphrodite's peonies. She leads him to the cushioned porch swing. A dizzy, delirious bee beguiled in a bouquet of red camellias. Sweet hexagonal honeycomb love. Two minds, two hearts, and two wills become one. Yeah, and this is an epic poem. Just fantastic. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, the last lines kind of wrap it up for me. A dizzy, delirious bee beguiled by a bouquet of red camellias. Sweet hexagonal honeycomb love. Two minds, two hearts, and two wills become one. Now, it took quite an elegant and metaphorical path to get where he got. But it was certainly worthwhile. And I was scared initially that this was going to be some kind of a bastardization of the famous La Dame aux Camélias, or the Lady of the Camellias, because if you wear a red camellia, you're menstruating and unavailable for sex, and if you wear a white camellia, you're available to your lover. But he didn't. I don't think he went there, and I was looking for that. I didn't find it. Didn't find it. I'm pleased to say. And on that note, I will yield the floor.
Thank you, Lord. Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I loved the whole journey through the flowers and all the stuff. I thought it was really beautiful. Excellently written, and I especially loved the ending.
Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, he does remind me of Titus in the way they use metaphors, the descriptive nature of their poems as well, and of course of the beauty they use with the elements of, you know, of nature as well. And I like the reference. I like the fact that he repeats himself here with the bee whisperer. I like a reference to Apollo and Aphrodite. There's a lot here in this poem. Here, it's a central piece, but it's also a piece that's very poetic. He's a very creative writer. You know, he comes up with exquisite metaphors. You know, that are always enticing. You know, to read. And I too enjoyed the reference there to the sweet hexagonal honeycomb love in the way it ended there with two wheels become one. Some more of this marvelous display of a masterful instinctive nature he has to write.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And so, well, what did you think?
Incredible. I agree with everyone. Beautiful commenting. It's just beautiful how he created the atmosphere for two people. The last line, too, really got me, the two minds, two hearts, and two would become one. But he created this atmosphere where the bee whisper, flowers, almost like almost the bees and the flower going to come together as well as one. And he created this atmosphere where then both of them become one. I love the repetition of this line in particular, bouquet of red camellia, only if you're sure. It's only if she's sure, then definitely he will make the move. And he keeps repeating it again because it's true. I mean, when two relations, someone in love with someone you can't, the other side is not also in love. That's really beautiful. It's so romantic, incredibly creative, and the read is amazing.
I agree. Thank you, Sawa. And I'd like to welcome Naomi to the show. Hello, Naomi.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Martha. Hi, Sawa. Hi, Frank. Hi, Laurent.
Hello, hello.
And hi, Gray.
Hi, Naomi.
I think I got everybody.
Chance? Yeah, you did. Hello. Did you get a chance to hear a poem?
Yeah, I love the, he created quite a rich, deep, just, you know, romantic story there that's so, you know, I have to mention the alliteration throughout this. My gracious, you know, he has an alliteration almost in every, like, second or third line there. His alliteration is just, you know, out of this world. Just a rich, deep poem, very colorful, very romantic, and, rich with imagery and everything. Just a wonderful write, Eric.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Laurent, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right, give me just a second to get there. Okay. A little preamble to this. This poem is dedicated to a car. A very prosaic subject. This is open poetry. It has nothing to do with love except love for a car. It's dedicated to the Tesla Model S Plaid, the fastest production car on the planet, which is actually a family sedan. It's also in honor of the ICE engines, internal combustion engines, which have served us well, but now go the way of the horse and chariot. And, of course, to the dawn of the age of battery-powered electric cars, which are our future. This is called Silent But Deadly. Down a thousand venues of pixelated rust, mystical iron sits quiet, a halting of steel robbed of motion by electric doppelgangers. What can rot, rots. Far-off echo of V8s in infernal combustion mode fades into the past. Checkered flags no longer waving the finishers home. Their crazed rubber sags like a fat man's middle, worn uneven by time. Four wilting corners with doors in between nose and tail. Sit and Godspeed, Twilight Warrior, as AI pedals the night against each dawn, driverless. Don't cross the yellow. There's a good fellow. No fallen angel escapes from sin. Tell that to the road. A constant vanishing point held in a mind's eye, waving you in around third base. crossing the plate at 215 miles per hour. Tesla plaid, motionless to 60, 1.9 seconds, silent but deadly. License and registration, please. End poem.
Wow, you did a fabulous job reading that. And this is an epic testament to, you know, the Tesla plaid and, you know, its ability to do 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds at a silent but deadly rate. Yeah, just a beautiful poem. I really liked it, Laurent. Excellent writing. Excellent read. Sawa, what did you think?
Give me 1 second. Sorry, I was doing something. I don't know much. I was listening, actually, but I don't know much about cars. I was really trying to search some words. So sorry, give me. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I'm really ignorant when it comes to cars. So give me one. Finish the search and then read it again.
Welcome back.
Sorry about that, Laurent. But I have to say, he really surprised us. I love what Laurent, how he always takes stuff that in everyday life, and he just surprised us with an amazing poem. That's really fascinating. He never repeats himself. He always has something new. It's incredible talent that he has.
Merci.
Great comment. Thank you, Kawa.
No problem.
Yeah. And Naomi, what did you think?
Well, I don't know. I chuckled all along. I don't know if that was your intention, Laurent, but I just, you know, I was chuckling all along this poem. You know, it seems as if you're so sarcastic. Well, it came over to me as being sarcastic. You know, the rubber, you know, everything from, you know, what you say at the beginning, what can rot. So you have this beautiful image of this car, you know, that probably costs a fortune, and it's going to rot anyway. And then, you know, you go down and, you know, they can't race anymore. So, like, even if it does, you know, 215 miles per hour, who cares? You know, the police is only going to stop you anyway and ask for your license, and you're going to get a ticket. So, you know,
they got to catch you.
But I mean,
you may not be aware of the fact that the greatest penetration of electric cars in the world today is in China. And you may also not realize that there are acres upon acres upon acres upon acres of brand new internal combustion engine cars sitting and rotting in various venues because nobody wants them.
Wow. Yeah, so anyway, well, but this, you know, so that was the sarcasm that I got out of it, you know, the whole thing. You know, but what I liked is that their crazed rubber sags like a fat man's middle, worn uneven by time, four wilting corners with doors in between nose and tail. You know, that really hit, you know, because it is that kind of a clientele that'll buy this car, you know. And, just a wonderful, wonderful, like, write that kept me captivated all through. But, you know, I took it as, you know, as sarcasm a bit. And, you know, and I was chuckling at and especially at the end there when you said license registration, please, you know.
The thing about the plaid, it's got the self-driving,
mm-hmm.
right? Thank you for
mm-hmm.
your comments, by the way. It's got the self-driving feature. So, yeah, you're going to be good because the car knows exactly how to drive, but when you've got that kind of power, that kind of speed, you're going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you. And Sal, would you like to say anything?
Yes, now that I heard and read it again, even from the title, I guess, you have, when you say, where is it, silent but deadly, I mean, deadly because you're going to get in trouble, I guess.
the how you describe us, you take us little by little down a thousand, thousand venues, like what the car will do, emotion, electric, you just explain every details about it. At the end, really what matters is each darn driver, don't trust the yellow, there's a good fellow.
Yeah.
No, for the angel escape from sin, that has to do with the constant, just amazing humor you have, really amazing. And then Tesla, please, motion into 60, and tightly but deadly, that's how it gets deadly, get a ticket. It's hilarious. You really like acted like a, you know, you just have tickets before Laurent, you know that.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Great comments, everybody. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Martha, and she has dropped, unfortunately, so hopefully she can come back on to hear the comments. But I don't see her on the phone lines as of yet. Okay, so she has a SoundCloud for hers, and I will play that.
Daddy's in the Doghouse by Martha Gettle. Daddy came home late, like he said he wouldn't anymore. He stumbled and could barely find the door. Mom was waiting with her hands on her hips. I heard him hit the wall as he tripped. He came up to give my mom a kiss. She turned her head so we missed. He said, oh, honey, don't be like that. I love you and that's a fact. I watched from the corner, quiet as a mouse. I knew my daddy was in the doghouse. He picked my mama up and swung her around. She said, old man, you better put me down. I'll shoo you an old man, he said, with a wink of his eye. And then I saw my mama start to smile. Yeah, my daddy is in the doghouse, but it won't last for long. I knew their love was much too strong. I watched from the corner, quiet as a mouse. I knew my daddy was in the doghouse. He picked my mama up and swung her around. She said, old man, you better put me down. Their love has seen me through the hard things in life. They have always been side by side. Though my daddy was sometimes in the doghouse, there was a lot of love in our house.
Oh, the wonderful song. Excellent singing. Excellent singing as well. But I really liked, you know, the whole scene that she painted of daddy coming home drunk and mama being mad and having her hands on her hips. And then she heard him hit the wall as he tripped. And then I watched from the corner quiet as a mouse. I knew my daddy was in the doghouse. Picked my mama up and swung her around. And said, she said, old man, you better put me down. I'll show you an old man, he said with a wink of his eye. And then I saw my mama start to smile. Yeah, my daddy's in the doghouse, but it won't last long. I knew their love was much too strong. This was wonderful. You know, this is a day in the life of, and I really enjoyed it a lot. What did you think, Florence? Hello, Lord. Oh, Lord has dropped. Sawa, what did you think?
I mean, it's really it's different than her poems. Usually it's very about her and very romantic. This is different kind of, I feel like I'm watching the scene of old movies where it's just hilarious how she really brought it to life with her wording, telling a story from the start to the end, and then how it didn't last in the doghouse because she's just, it shows how people sometimes have literally obstacles in life, and some people compromise, some people don't, and that's what I see here. That's a really amazing poem. Great singing, as always.
Thank you, Sawa. I appreciate that. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, wonderful storytelling. Like, it's so vivid and it can be so true, like, in so many families, you know, I'm sure this happens all the time, you know, and, you know, the rhyming, of course, super on, spot on. And, you know, she just tells a story here. Wonderful, wonderful writing, Martha, all the way through. I really enjoyed this, right?
Great comment. Thank you. And, Sawa, what did you think? Or did I get you?
Already? Yeah, you got me already.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to grab your poem, Naomi. If you wouldn't mind reading it when you see it.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, this is called Small Awakenings. I remember small things, small awakenings, tiny moments that helped me realize who I was. I never quite lived inside myself before that year I met you. I discovered how my hands could touch the world around me. And when the breeze turned cool before a rainstorm, I could feel it. Because whenever I saw you, it always seemed to rain, at least once. The sky cracking open with a rush of rain and lightning, and the sweet low rumble of thunder crackling through the hot clouds high above. The holes in the road was filled with water, and the whole place would become a river. Yes, that summer I tasted the rain. Just to think of you. And then I realized the caress of the sun on my skin made me remember your eyes. They were bright blue, like a summer day when the clouds skip along the sky, pushed by warm winds and shattered by sunlight. And this one hot, hot day, you took off running into a field of tall grass, your pale arms stretching above the wildflowers and underbrush, waving a gauzy net after the white butterflies that rode the sunbeams. For the first time, I felt my smile touch my face and fill my cheekbones. What I learned from that summer of gazing at you across picnic tables is that you can love somebody you don't even know. And you can be changed by someone who never even touched you. And that you never quite know who out there may be sitting quietly daydreaming while writing poetry about you and poem.
Wow.
Wow. That's so beautiful. It was a wonderful read. But, you know, the poem is so warm and loving and open and honest. It's just a beautiful poem. For the first time, I felt my smile touch my face and fill my cheekbones. Just amazing, amazing poetry. Excellent job, Naomi.
Thank you, Gray.
Oh, my goodness. I agree with you. So much the way you read it, and you can see the emotion. It's how this person really meant to you. I'm really touched. I could hear it in your voice. And then just so many lines. I love how you intertwine it with nature and how it's true. Sometimes, like in life, there's little things that remind us of a particular person, of particular memories that we never forget. And the idea of loving someone without seeing them, I really believe that because you are very, like, because who you are, some people don't believe in this, because you can see through sometimes people when you have this sensitivity. And that's what I see. It's just so romantic, so beautiful. I just love your writing, Naomi. I truly mean, I just love every line. I remember small things, small awakening. It's the awakening for you. I can go on for Can I go on more? Grace?
Yeah. You can.
For the first time, I felt my smile touch my face and feel my cheek bone. What I learned from that summer of gazing at you across the tables is that you can love somebody you don't even know and you can let change. It's so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I hope he knows that you wrote this poem. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And Naomi, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Oh, well, this is way back, you know, in my teenage years in camp. We went to camp in the summer, and I was young, and there was this boy, you know, that I never was too shy to speak to, but, you know, I just loved him from a distance, and I just kept watching him all summer, and, yeah, so it just... He doesn't know. I don't know. I don't even think I knew his name, you know, but I just, it's just something. Yeah, so just something that came across my mind when I was writing, when I was sitting to write.
That's beautiful.
Thank you
for sharing that. Okay, so I have your poem. You wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. My precious dove, ma preziosa colomba, mia preziosa colomba. Appoggiato un ramo di un albero gigante, ti ho sentito cantare tutta la notte la tua dolce canzone. Ha liberato il mio cuore, ha risvegliato l'amore. Oh, come i tuoi teneri occhi addolorati mi sono mancato, mia preziosa colomba. Penché sur une branche d'un arbre géant, je t'ai entendu chanter toute la nuit, ta chanson a libéré mon cœur, réveillé l'amour, au comme tes tendres yeux peignés, me manque ma précieuse colombe. Leaning on a sitting tree, I heard you singing all night, your sweet song freed my heart, with love. Oh, how I missed your tender soulful eyes, my precious soul. And I can comment on this one because it's literally just the point of view of a maid talking to, like, missing. The picture made me think of this, the doves, that how, you know, how they sing to each other, but in a metaphoric way, of course, like a man would miss you or someone. That's where it took me, the prompt.
Well, that's beautiful. I thought it was lovely hearing this again. You know, it was it's such a lighthearted and touching poem. You know, it really hits the heart, the soulful notes of being in love. Oh, how I miss your tender, sorrowful eyes, my precious dove. Just beautiful. Excellent imagery, excellent emotions.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I had it before here. I'm just losing my sanity. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I remember now. Yeah.
That's okay. Naomi, what did you think?
Well, I've never heard it, so I'm enchanted. I'm very, very, very happy to have heard it. Yeah, it's so, it has a... It's so heartfelt. It's so light, but it also has, like, a deep, I don't know, kind of sadness to it, too. As if, freed my heart, awake my love. Oh, how I miss your tender, sorrowful eyes, my precious dove. If I take it in French, ta chanson a libéré mon cœur, a éveillé l'amour, ou comme tes tendres yeux peinés, me manque ma précieuse colombe. There's a kind of, like, there's rich emotion inside of this right, this little brevity here sends you through all kinds of emotion. First of all, you know, the love, but also like the lingering or the longing or the sadness of maybe love lost, you know, and that he's finding again. You know, there's so many emotions inside this little brevity here. So bravo, Salwa, like excellent, excellent writing here. You pack so much feeling into so few words there is incredible.
Thank you. People cool.
I agree. Thank you, Naomi. Great comment. Okay, I have the next poem up. This is by Jack Tomkovic. It's called 2 Minute Attention.
Oh, I cannot hear you.
With pinballs bouncing in the machine. We careen from walls to police shootings, to fascist governors, war in Ukraine, and babies wailing, like old men losing their store-bought teeth. No relief, no focus, no abracadabra, just rockets shooting their red glare into someone's derriere. End poem. Well, I thought that was a great reflection of today's times. You know, we sit on the edge of chaos, and it turns into the eve of weasels. We weave a path from glittering gazing to bright shiny metals, like pinballs bouncing in the machine. We careen from walls to police shootings, to fascist governors, war in Ukraine, and babies wailing. Yeah, just an epic little statement on modern society. What did you think, Salwa?
Kind of really sad what's happening. I mean, any war, I just don't like wars, and they just destroy humans and everything around it. And he brought it to life, like pinballs bouncing in the machine. I mean, he talked about everything, the police, but it's not only about wars. Any kind of shooting, the fascist governor war in Ukraine, and babies waiting. It's sad. I just can't imagine how people have to go through what they're going through in any war. Just heart-wrenching, really.
Yeah, I agree, Salwa.
Hello?
Great comment.
Yeah.
And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, two-minute attention span is a great title for this poem. You know, the edge of chaos. He starts it off right away, you know, the edge of chaos turns into the eve of weasels. And it's so true, you know, that it's all the thing of, you know, weasels, you know, trying to fight to keep, you know, what they all the riches that they have, you know, like you see, I won't get into it because I can get into it farther. But, you know, it makes me just so mad, you know, to see, you know, like Salwa said, you know, everything is going on in Ukraine. And, you know, Putin that's sitting back in it all with all his riches, like he's over, you know, I don't know how much money he has stolen from people, you know, in Russia, you know. But, you know, he just enriched himself, you know, just like a weasel there. And, you know, everything from, it's like being on a news broadcast here and seeing bits and pieces of the news fly in front of your face, you know, the 2 minute attention span with everything that's going on in the world. I think Jack just, you know, attacked the whole subject of what's revolting, you know, just amazingly, like old men losing their store-bought teeth. Yeah, you know, just flying out of the mouth and, you know, everything that's going along around and like pinballs bouncing in the machine. It's so true. you know, everything is just so chaotic and so mixed up and so unfair. You know, it's just unfair. Just, you know, it's just, anyway, I won't go on because I can go on for a while, but yeah, it's an excellent life, Jack.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. I have the next write-up. It's by Budo, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that. I really liked it. You know, it had a great guitar section in it, and I thought it was just a beautiful creation of art, of, you know, music meeting words and saying. It's just another expression of Budo's talent, for sure. It's a beautiful job. And what did you think, Stella?
Oh, I love Budo's performance. Incredible. Every time. I mean, I haven't heard some for a while. I think you kind of on and off lately. This is amazing. You're right, like how he played the guitar, his lyrics, the singing. And this is another very romantic and passionate invitation. The stanza that, I mean, there's all of them is beautiful, but this one really explained it for me. Come on, let's take a ride into the pitch of the night. The star will guide our way. No longer need to hide. Hitch your ride and brought the light a chance. Let's come what may. Sometimes we don't take risk, then nothing happens. And just give it a chance and see what we're going to take us. Beautifully done. He take us in a... I love how he take us in the universe, but it's really about chance to take in life, to love someone and give them a chance to love them. Amazing, as always.
Absolutely great. Great comment, Sawa. Thank you. Any others? What did you think?
Yeah, well, I'll be doing my housework tomorrow and singing na 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 na
na na na
na na na. You know, what a catchy, you know, melody. You know, just so great. Budo is just exceptional, you know. And where is he? If he's listening or if he listens back to this, well, I wonder where he's been, because I haven't seen him around in like so long, and I'm so happy to hear a song from him tonight. You know, I really miss his songs, and they bring so much gaiety, you know, to me. And yeah, I miss him. I miss him. And I just a wonderful, wonderful composition here, you know. And like Sawa said, it's just an invitation to let go and be free, and you know, and just sail on into the broad light there, and just, you know, dance and sing along. So just bravo on this, right, Budo?
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, so I have a recording. Oh, it's not here. Shoot. Sawa, would you mind reading for Chinaski?
Oh, of course. Let me see if it's not a hard one, so I don't destroy it. One second. Yeah, I can. Sorry, because sometimes he put words that are difficult to read. Let me finish. Stella by Chinaski. Clothes were tangled, falling of limbs. The curious tree old battered oak. Winter withered, frozen. Sun melting mirrors, filling passionate frozen frames. And porcelain petals clasped her hand. Flowering feet rooted. Blossom bouquet of soft things, melting moist meadows, a ray of pale light, trapped the tree outside, dancing silhouettes upon her mouth, buzzing bees, hovering above sleepy silence, as moments stood still, tulip flowers tall, overshadowing whispers, quietly singers, nodding, peacefulness lying upon white walls, empty dust. Glowing, day clothes folded neatly, given to the nurse her history printed, given to an anesthesiologist the body to surgeons, and the form. Sorry, I got distracted. Sorry about that.
Okay, you did a wonderful job reading that. But yeah, this is a hard-hitting poem. You know, it's I'm sure. Reflects on whoever, it's his mother that he's reflecting on, Estella. Wow, how beautiful is that? And so sad. Clothes were tangled, falling off limbs. The curious old battle battered oak, winter windows frozen, sun melting mirrors, filling passionate frozen frames. You can feel all this as he writes it. Peacefulness lying upon white walls. Empty dust billowing, day clothes folded neatly, given to the nurse, her history printed, given to the anesthesiologist, her the body to surgeons. You know, I'm sure he lost her at surgery, so that's a tragic ending there.
Wow.
But what did you think, Naomi?
Did you ask me?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is really a hard-hitting poem, and so, so well written. I mean, you know, the detail, you know, the clothes were tangled, the curious trio battered oak, you know, the winter windows frozen, everything, you know, the porcelain petals, you know, he goes into such detail here all the way through. And, you know, it brings out right to the last stanza there, you know, peacefulness lying upon white walls, empty dust billowing, day clothes folded neatly given to the nurse, the history printed, given to the anesthetists, to the body of to surgeons. You know, it's just, wow, you know. I'm kind of speechless. It's just, you know, written. It's as if it's written straight from the heart, this piece. Just so well, well expressed. Like, bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. I mean, reading it really moved me deeply. I thought it was a story, sad story of someone. I didn't know what his mother was called, the story of a young girl in the 6 years, and then realized it was his mother until at the end. It's hard to share something like this. It's not easy, and he brought it. He did it so... like, as you said, you know, so vividly, like with so many meticulous details. And even nature is there with, like, listening to her, being there, the battle, like her old winter wind, the sun melting mirrors. Like, everything is there, from nature even, and tulips tower tall. But then, and then it's snowed in. You remember every single detail of that day, what happened. The ending is just heart-wrenching, giving tennis to the body for surgeons. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine losing a parent or anyone, darling? It would really remind me of my own loss of my sibling and my mother. It moved me deeply. So sorry for your loss, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Naomi, would you mind reading for Drew?
Yes, okay. Amongst the flowers rare, in solitude that stems me there, amongst the fragrant flowers rare, reclined within disc-topic state, my life and loves so congregate. Two wine sighs from distant eyes, resounding clouds do burst, surprise. Tattered clothes within the rags, my emotion, love long lost, fretting its devotion. Yea, red within a timeless end, so to send me often wishing, season pile that one not parted, end as lovers kissing. Reasons, then no more are they, reached in all I am to stay. With glee life races so from me, to seek me not, but to be free. Beaten strands of corn do blow, headless in the winds of never know. All but then so left to me, but be it dreamed in breek of bough, the fruit to see. Am I all I am did always ask to forge in truth my heart's belief, rest it never once in glory, seen but only grief, creaked moral and marrow, so to gray the temple from my aching soul, body clinging that where youth cannot follow through, thou. Carved within me dark and grained, prayer nor wisdom rearranged, learned in silence to pretend of all, for it is so, does nothing call. Only that in all of soul, that which mortal I behold, never knowing, always seeking, so this heaven to unfold. Searched, unfretted, unfettered, so embraced that it released, yet not being blind by form, and never now to see what I have seen. Born as though to tame the gifts, so given then within, bestowed in all of innocence, yet pained as if to sin. God then smiles as heart beguiled by love to need, shown to frolic not in fields where men doth feed. All that I am, littered by their lust, thrown as bone to growl upon the archers of mistrust, never more in beat will I implore to it, dance and draft in heart and soul inure to it. Grace me now in open fields that I may rest in care. Child me frolicked innocence among the flowers rare. And boom.
That was a beautiful read, Naomi. And this is a story of life, you know, being born amongst the flowers rare. You know, I think that's just metaphoric for being born into life itself. To winning size, just an eyes resounding in clouds to burst surprise. You can feel his passion in this for living and for life. You know, grace me now in open fields that I may rest and care. Child me frolic innocence amongst the flowers rare. Just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Sawa?
This is really deep, a beautifully read. Naomi, this is really deep. He talks about so many things. He goes back to the past of, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I see, talk about the relationship of the past, how it impacted him, being amongst the fragrant flowers where my life and love so congruent to inside from distant eyes, resounding clouds to burst apart. And then he asked all these questions. He tried to discover who he really is. All I'm did, always asked to forge in truth my heart's belief. Just like reflect on all of this, what caved in him in the darkness, prayers to wisdom. And then he realized that only in his soul, what's there is immortal, which is true, whatever we gain from life and what, it's so philosophical and so spiritual and just very deep. It really needs to be read multiple times to give it justice. At the end, he can see, he find himself in the field, even though among the flowers, even though there's some loneliness and some sadness, and dance and draft and heart and soul ignore to it. And imploring. I might be wrong, but that's what I see here. It's very rich and very layered, so much in there.
Thank you. Beautiful comment. Thank you. And Naomi, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I agree with Sawa. You know, I have to, when I'm reading, I'm concentrated on reading like word by word, like my attention span is not the best there. I have ADD. And, you know, I have to really sit down and reread this, in silence, just in my head to fully comprehend the whole piece that's written so magnificently here. But what I got from it is, like Sawa says, I think, you know, he's questioning himself, you know, you know, he's questioning his life and then questioning also all that he did. I think I had rested never once in glory seen, but only grief creaked in marrow, so to gray the temple from my aching soul, body clinging that where youth cannot follow, though. So there's something about aging too, you know, that is, you know, he wants to follow, but because of his age, you know, reduced capacities or whatever, you know, that you get with age, your body doesn't follow everything that your mind might want. Maybe that's part of it that's in it. But, you know, there's so many layers in this piece that you almost have to pick it to line by line, you know, to grasp all the magnitude of the deepness and richness of this poem. So an amazing, amazing writer.
Well, thank you, Naomi. Okay, I have one last right here, and this is by Coily, and it's called Summer Breeze. When I was stranded in shores of strumming wind, and waves kept climbing on as the ocean held the sun, you were holding me as my toes, the waters tease, gently whispering, just feel the summer breeze. In the sounds of desolate, in this world of green, I was lost, just wondering, what's the point of anything? That's when you anchored me, and my worry began to cease, when I heard you whispering, just feel the summer breeze. But the dusk crept into the night, when I lost you from my sight, and now I wait all alone to tread tomorrow's dawn. Oh, my anchors drifted on, and the waves wrinkled my knees, yet I stand tall, holding on, just to feel the summer breeze. I feel you in the summer breeze. Wow, that was beautiful, poignant, right? Heartfelt, loving, descriptive in its nature, and a fantastic right, full of splendor and elegance, exactly. What did you think, Sawa?
I'm not sure if someone who passed away or simply lost her, like he doesn't see her anymore, when I lost you from my side. But before that, a beautiful read. He talks about, you know, when you're down and you give up in life, or you're just so not, and then you find someone who really lifts you up. That's what I see here. But sadly, even though he finds this person, she's gone, and when he just feels the summer breeze, he remembers her. That's what I see here. It's really sad, very sad poem, but beautifully written.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I took it another way. I took it as a you know, the nature calming and soothing him, or it could be a loved one too in here, or just a friend that's whispering, you know. But I took it as nature, you know, that he's lost, and you know, and he's trying to get back to the essentials here, to just feel the. Just feel the summer breeze, you know, just grasp onto life and onto hope and onto what's left, you know. You know, he says, and the waves wrinkled my knees, yet I stand tall, holding on just to feel the summer breeze. A very gripping and poignant right here, and just so beautifully composed all through. Just bravo.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought it was a wonderful poem too as well. But thank you so much for calling in and sharing your heart, your mind, your voice, and most of your time, lady. I appreciate you, and I love you very much. So have a wonderful night, mm-hmm. and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, too, Ray. Thank
you,
great
you.
Show.
And you did a great job.
Bye, Paula.
Thank you for giving bonne nuit.
Bye, Gray. Bonne nuit, là.
Bonne nuit.
Bon voyage, hein?